Morning. Today's daf in Megillah is daf chaf vav. We're starting on chaf hamad aleph. We skipped a day on account of Tisha B'Av. We are on chaf hamad aleph. We're right in the middle of the amud, just a little bit below half the halfway point. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Nishmas Lo Lupin Zaltzman. We are continuing from where we last left off, and where we last left off was the Shlich Zibra sometimes going to get yanked. He's going to get pulled off the bima. Actually, back in those days, they didn't have a bima. It's a more modern phenomenon. But anyway, but because he said he ad-libbed a little bit too much into his tefillah, and things which are heretical. The Mishnah gives a number of examples. First of all, the Mishnah has examples. Yivaruchecha tovim. Meaning, right, the tzaddikim will come to shul, but the rishonim, let's keep out of shul. That's unacceptable. Rashi brings down that that we have to include everyone into shul, even the rishonim. You need everyone together in order to daven. Okay, you need everyone together in general, but especially for davening. Akan sipor yagir rechamecha. Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have so much compassion over that bird with the mitzvah shluach hakan. So please have compassion over us, just the same way that. And as the Gemara pointed out, although the Gemara gave two explanations for this. But the second expression of the Gemara is that's heretical, because that's not why we have mitzvahs. We don't have mitzvahs because there are reasons behind the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are mitzvahs, and we have the mitzvah shiluach hakan. That's it. In other words, and it's not because Kadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanus over the birds. That's not the reason behind the mitzvah. Or Kadosh Baruch Hu, let's thank you for all the good that you've done for us. That's also totally philosophically, hashkafically off. We don't thank Kadosh Baruch Hu over the good. The Mishnah Brachos tells us we thank Kadosh Baruch Hu over the good and for the bad. Okay, and that was point one in the Mishnah. That's what we discussed back in the Gemara. And you remember the last thing we discussed? I know this is going back now to Monday, but we discussed in the Gemara that there was somebody davening for the Amud and Atagi Bor Lashem. I'm sorry. All right, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Vanara. Those are the three adjectives we use in Shmoneh Esrei. And the particular Shlich Zibra, he just went and he kept going on. And he added Ha'adir, Ve'ha'chazak, Ve'ha'amitz. And he added other adjectives to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he too basically got yanked from the Shlich Zibra. Meaning you can't do that. You can't add adjectives to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shmoneh Esrei. I mean, just even the idea of just adding to the Nusach HaShmoneh Esrei is in of itself is hard to understand. But he did so, and the point we ended with on Monday was you can't do that. And the reason why you can't do that is because we only use three adjectives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only because Moshe used them, only because Anshe Knesset Gedola instituted into the Shmoneh Esrei. But after that, that's it. We have no right to use any other adjectives to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're just simply incapable of adding any type of descriptive term. Right, the Gemara gave a mashal. It's like somebody who owns thousands of gold bars, and you say, "Wow, your silver bars are your silver is beautiful. Your silver, he doesn't have silver; he has gold." Meaning, we just simply cannot articulate on our own any type of shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and so that is where we ended off the Gemara. So we are right now in the Gemara. Amar Le Rabbi Chanin. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Third white line down on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for Yira Shamayim. We have very little in our control, right? How tall we're going to be, how short we're going to be, the color of our eyes, meaning most of this is, the Gemara says, all of it is not up to us, with one exception, and that is Yira Shamayim. Yira Shamayim basically means Bechira Chavshi. I mean, the decisions we make in life, that's going to be in our hands, right? The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva talks about how Bechira Chavshi, the choices that we make, the free, right? We always have a choice of either doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. That is a cornerstone to being a human being, and we have that ability, and that's what the Gemara here is referring to when it refers to Yira Shamayim. Okay, but that's it. That's the only thing that we really have control over. So Mechlal the Yira Melsa Zuchosihi. Now, just from the simple pshat in the pasuk, it sounds like fearing God is, it's not such a big deal. Meaning, just listen to the tone of the pasuk. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? Kim lira, just to fear Kadosh Baruch Hu. That sounds like it's easy. So the Gemara says, in legame Moshe Rabbeinu Melsa Zuchosihi. So the Gemara says, in the context of the pasuk, it's totally easy because we're talking about from Moshe Rabbeinu's standpoint. Meaning for him, he conquered his Yetzirah to the point where, yeah, it was easy. Mashal Adam Shemevakshim Emenu Kli Gadol, V'yesh Lo Dama Lav Kikli Katan. So I'm sorry, v'yeshlo dama lof kikli klatan. So he asked somebody for what is a, you know, I need to borrow something, a bowl, it's a huge bowl. Well, if he has it, so then no problem, meaning not a big deal. So here. So, and to him, it's not a big deal because he has it. But katam ein lo, but let's say you ask him from him a small bowl. But he doesn't have it, so dama lof kikli gadol. So the mere fact that it's smaller, okay, so it's smaller, but he doesn't have it. So to him, it's an impossible task. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the mashal, the nimshal is for Moshe Rabbeinu. Yiras Hashem, he has it. So for him, it's not a big deal. But enachinami, for somebody who hasn't conquered his Yetzer Hara yet, so it's a big deal. Amar Rabbi Zera, Omer Shema Shema, Komer Mode Mode. Another thing mentioned in the Mishnah, I forgot to mention this in the review. Another thing mentioned in the Mishnah is if you say Mode Mode twice. So the problem with that, as Rashi pointed out back in the Mishnah, is that it's as if you're acknowledging Shtei Rishuyos, right, by saying Mode Mode twice. And the Gemara says the same thing for Shema. If you say Shema twice, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you repeat the Pasuk, so again, the problem is, it is as if you're acknowledging two Rishuyos. So, Meiz V'Yakor Shema V'Chofla Arez Meguna. The Gemara points out that if you say Shema and you repeat the Shema, it's Meguna. Meguna means disgusting. Disgusting means, that's not right, it's not appropriate, but it's certainly not what the category we're talking about. The category we're talking about is basically ousting the Shliach Tzibur. That's much stronger. So Meguna Doha B'Shtuk Alam Shatkina, and the Gemara makes exactly that diuk. It's not appropriate behavior, but certainly not where we are in the Mishnah where we're gonna remove him. So Lokasha Adamar Milsa Vahala. I'm sorry. Vitani La Hadamar Psuka Psuka Vitani La. So the Gemara's response is as follows: when is it just simply inappropriate? When he's repeating every word. So he says, Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael. So it's not the right way to daven. When you daven, you have to daven with clarity and just simply stringing along each word. But if I repeat each pasuk, so now, Shema, Yisrael, Shema, Kinner, Shema, Chad, and you repeat the entire pasuk, Mishatken, so meaning at that point in time, you have to shut him up because it does sound like he is acknowledging two rishiyos. Amalei Rav Papa L'Rabba, V'duma Mikar Lo Kivin Daite V'Hashe Kivin Daite. So Rav Papa says, well, can't we be melamed zchus? Right, let's make an argument for the guy who repeated Shema twice. Maybe, the first time he said Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he didn't have Kavana. And then he's thinking to himself, oh, I just did the mitzvah of Shema, but I did without Kavana. And like we keep arguing in the Gemara back and forth, time and again, mitzvahs do or do not require Kavana. Right, for our purposes, just to make it simple, let's say mitzvahs do require Kavana. Okay, let's make this Gemara go a little bit easier. So mitzvahs require kavana. So if mitzvahs shichus kavana, and he says Shema without kavana, so no good. So maybe the reason why he repeat the whole pasuk again is just simply to get the mitzvah, because he now wants to say it with kavana. Can we argue that's what's going on over here? So Amar Lei Chavusa Kapishmaya, he gives such a sharp answer. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your friend? Right? What? Meaning, how can you possibly say Shema and not have kavana? What, it's like you're talking to your friend? You know, you're talking to your friend. Sometimes you're in the conversation. Sometimes you're out of the conversation, but you're not talking to a friend. You're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, ilo mechavin daite, machinale be'arzavta, denavcha ad mechavin daite. So, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and if you find yourself right now not having the proper kavana, so basically, hit yourself over the head with an iron shovel until you have kavana. Okay, the Gemara over here, I don't think is meant to be taken too super literally. It just simply means realize that you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Kavan issues will take care of themselves. Meaning, you'll at that point in time realize I'm speaking to my Creator and I'm saying Shema, and right now is not the time to space out, now is the time to tune in and to have Kavanah. I understand that, but in other words, but if you're repeating the Pasuk twice, what are you doing that for? I hear you, but the guy's saying it twice. So the Gemara is trying to give an argument. Well, maybe first time he didn't have Kavana, the Gemara says, that's hard to imagine. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, obviously, by the way, they built in Musar to the Gemara about how we're supposed to have Kavana while saying Shema, for that matter, doing all other mitzvahs, but okay, that's built in. It's built into the Gemara.
Is that more because
he's a Shliach Tzibur? Yeah, you could make that point also, but the Gemara certainly is speaking to the masses when it says you think you're talking to a friend. Okay. So, we're at the point of the Mishnah where we're talking to the Metargim. The Metargim over here has a responsibility of translating the Torah. Like we've been discussing over the course of this third Perek, the Metargin is standing right next to the Baal Kori. The Baal Kori says a pasuk, he translates. Now, translation is really important because you want to communicate to the masses what the Torah is saying. And anytime you mistranslate, so the Mishnah once again says, oh, that's no good. Mishatkin oso, you shut them up. So the, Hamachan Ba'arayas Mishatkin oso. So, if, let's say you're reading Parshas Arayas, all right, we're in the part of the year where we're reading from Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Kedoshim, right in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, and you're reading the Arayas. And the Metargim now is giving some sort of homiletic interpretation of the Psukim. We don't want homiletics now. In other words, what we need is a real, literal, in other words, the Targum. We need the translation of the Torah. So, Tanur Rav Yosef, Kalon Aviv, Kalonimo. So, in other words, what kind of interpretation is he giving? The Gemara is here giving us an example of like a non-literal translation of the Torah. So, he says, right, make sure not to offend the honor of your father or the honor of your mother. Meaning, not literally, don't sleep with your mother and father, which is what the Torah means, meaning that's Arayos, but the Torah here is talking about don't dishonor your father, don't dishonor your mother. That's an example of kinui, of giving a very loose homiletic interpretation of the Torah, and that's not the mitzvah. Meaning, here we're talking about the Isser of Arayos. You got to give the literal translation. Ha'omer mizarecha lo titen la'avir. Another Isser in the Torah, also Parshas Achrimos, is don't take your child and pass it through the fire of Molech, right? A type of Avodah Zarah back then. They had very strange ways of, to us it seems very strange ways of worshipping their idolatry. So one of the ways that they had was basically taking a child and putting it through a fire, right? The child comes out the other end, it doesn't come out the other end. Somewhere in the recesses of my mind, I remember that it was a machlokis. But anyway, but basically that's what they did as part of their Avodah Zarah process. And you're sitting there now, you're the Metargim, you're translating the Torah, and the Mishnah says that if you give some sort of loose translation of that Pasuk, so once again, the Metargim, you are either permanently or temporarily disposed of your position, and we'll get a replacement, because that's not what it means. The Mishnah already gave us an example of what you would say in that Pasuk. You would say, Mizarechalo titen la'avi l'molech, so again, the real translation, meaning the Issur in the Torah is to take your child and to pass them through a fire. But let's say you say Mizaracha means Zera, meaning your seed. Lo titein la'avi l'molech, basically, you'll say something like, this is what the Mishnah's example was, don't impregnate a non-Jewish woman. Okay. And that's your interpretation of the Pasuk. So once again, we take them at Targum, and we yank him off the stage. So Tandabe Rabbi Shmuel b'Yisrael ha'bala kutiv ha'holi mimenu ben la'avod ha'zera kasav medaber. Okay, so once again, Rabbi Shmuel gives us an example, it's really the same example as our Mishnah, where what you, the Metargim, say is, don't impregnate a non-Jewish woman and have a child. That's what the Torah means. No, that's not what the Torah means. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. Okay? Good. Mishnah. Maisa Reuven. Okay, right, anyone who's either gone through the Jewish education system or is now on the teaching end of the Jewish education system, so you know that certain parts of the Chumash you skip. Okay? Right, wrong, I'm not staking any claim right now. And that, and okay, and look, some of it is just simply not age appropriate. But you get to Yehuda and Tamar, okay, and they're young, so okay, skip it, don't skip it. Meaning, I guess you know, those decisions will be made by the educators, okay. But what about in Shul? In other words, again, remember, in the good old days, the laning was done, and then with a running translation of Metargim. And now, what are we going to do with these somewhat? They're not questionable parts of the Torah, but they're just simply more delicate parts of the Torah, which takes our avos and puts them in a particular light. Not necessarily a good one. So what do we do? So Maisa Reuven Nikra V'lo Metargim. So when you get to the incident of Reuven, so read it but don't translate it. Meaning the Metargim at that point in time just simply looks at the Baal Kori and says, okay, move on. I'll skip this one out. But the Mishnah says that's right. That's what you should do. Okay? Now, everyone know what we're referring to? Reuven is stepmother. Okay. Maisa Tamar Nikra Umetargim. Now when you get to Tamar, so you read it and you translate it. Okay, so very interesting. The in other words, right, the Yehuda Tamar episode is not as delicate and seemly as the Reuven one. Meaning it's hard to articulate why there should be a difference between the two. Meaning, in the case of Reuven, he's sleeping with his stepmother. Again, the simple pshat in the Gemara. Encourage everyone to look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf, Nun, Hey, thereabouts. where the Gemara over there argues as to what the correct interpretation of that pasuk is. But anyway, simple pshat, the pasuk is he sleeps with his stepmother, right? That's what Rashi over here quotes. Vayishkav es belah kelagish aviv. So again, the Metargim should sit that one out and let the Balkari go on. But Yehuda and Tamar, where he basically propositions the prostitute, right, and doesn't even have money to pay her, that whole episode, you read and you translate. So they're both delicate and they're both unseemly, and the Yehuda Tamar one, that you translate. Okay, so certainly one would have to make an argument in terms of why Yehuda and Tamar, like, no problem. But Ruvay, no. I kind of see it, but okay. Maisa Ego Harisha Nikra Matargim Ashini Nikra Velamatargim. Maisa Ego, the incident with the Ego. So you read that and you translate that. Okay? And but right. In other words, the actual episode itself, that part you read and you translate. But when Aaron is reviewing and repeating the information to Moshe, no. Right, and take a look at Rashi over here. Umasha Chazar Aharon. Rashi is four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Umasha Chazar Aharon v'sipra ma'isa u'kari ma'isa egel asheni. When Aharon is recounting the episode to Moshe, that's called round two of the story. Hu shekasa bo v'yetsa ha'egel hazeh. And what does Aharon describe? That the egel comes out on its own. So again, the simplest translation would indicate that the calf, the golden calf, kind of emerges on its own from the fire, like that. You know, it sounds like, you know, there's something to this, and you don't want that trace of below your target paying you to Ame Haaretz v'yamre mamash hayabo. The Ame Haaretz are in the show listening now, and the calf came out of the fire. Ooh, sounds like there's something to it. Sheyatzem elava v'hamikra ein mevinim. Okay, and therefore you will not properly be able to communicate on the simple pshat level. Like that, this golden calf is just that. Just a golden calf. Okay, and again, right, more analysis on this whole discussion would have to be, what is the Torah trying to communicate by Aaron saying to Moshe, you know, the calf kind of just jumped right out of the fire. Okay, what's behind that? That also requires more analysis. Birchas Kohanim, Maisa David Amram, Nikraim Velo Metargamin. Birchas Kohanim and the incident of Amnon and Tamar, so that you read, but you do not translate. Okay, we'll come back to that later on, in terms of why not. Now, Amnon Tamar, that we kind of understand. Meaning, right, the brother rapes the sister, so, again, it's delicate, it's unseemly. Read it, but don't translate it. Those who understand, great. And for those who don't understand, we'll just go on. But the Birchas Kohanim, why not? Okay, so we're going to discuss that. So, Ein Maftirim Merkava. Don't open up the Haftarah from the Merkava. And Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ein Maftirim B'Hodes Yerushalayim. Okay, various do's and don'ts regarding Haftarah. Actually, not that many. Can you make the Haftarah out of the Merkava? So that's a machlokes of the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Elazar says, don't make the Haftarah out of Hodes Yerushalayim. So, okay, and we'll discuss more of that as we go through the Gemara. Tana Rabbani Yesh Nikrim Matargim V'Yesh Nikrim V'Lo Matargim V'Yesh Lo Nikrim V'Lo Matargim. So we're going to basically now look at three categories as a Gemara. Things which are read and translated, things which are read but not translated, and things that are not read, Bechlal. So, and now we have a mnemonic to help us memorize, to commit to memory, the various topics we're going to be discussing. Balas Akan Nashpa, it's a mnemonic. So Maisa Bracious Nikrim Matargim. So when it comes to Maisa Bracious, so read and translate. Pshita Ma'od Detem, the Gemara says, now, obvious, meaning what's the danger in reading Maisa Bracious and translating? The Gemara says, Asu L'Shaloi, Mala 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 Mata. Because, well, the Gemara says it's very easy, because once you're talking about creation, so then we're all curious creatures, that's our nature, and we want to know, okay, what came before Maisa Bracious? And well, right, what's above, what's below, meaning it will pique our curiosity to try to understand, well, what came before creation? Okay, and and that may lead to, right, questioning, and that's the Mishnah of us says that's not going to end well. So I'm sorry, Malafnim Malachor, Kamash Malan. Maisa Lot Ushnei Benosav. top of Chavhamid base. The incident with Lot and his two daughters. Nikra Matargen. So read that and translate that. So Pshita Ma Detemenechushvoda Davram Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, look, it's, you know, again, an unseemly, it's a delicate parsha in the Torah. Right? A man gets intoxicated and sleeps with his two daughters, and okay, but it's Lot. It's not one of the Avos, but the Gemara says, yeah, but it may reflect poorly on Avraham. That's the Havamina. And the Gemara's Maskana is Afa Pike. Read it anyway. Maisa Tamar Yehuda Nikra Metargem Pshita Ma Detemelechus Lechvod Yehuda Kamash Malan Shavchehu Da Ode. Gemara gives an explanation why Yehuda and Tamar, we're going to read and we're going to translate it. Now the Gemara says, it is a delicate parsha. Yehuda soliciting a prostitute. Prostitute happens to be his daughter-in-law. He didn't know at the time. He later discovers, upon realizing that his daughter was pregnant, but before realizing that he was the father, he was ready to burn Tamar. Again, just to put Yehuda in a very awkward and compromised position, the Gemara says, we're going to read and translate it because the punchline. What's the punchline of the whole story? Yehuda makes an admission. I was wrong. She was right. The Gemara says it's such a powerful punchline that it's worth it. It's worth it to put Yehuda in that compromised position so that the muster we take away is when you're wrong, admit it. Right? Very difficult to do, and that's why it's worth it to read it and to translate it. Maisa Egel Arisha Nikra Matargem. So the Egel Arisha, and you read it and you translate, Pshita Ma Detem Alechu Shechvod Nashay Yisrael. The Jews are worshipping idolatry. Like, let's read it, but not translate it, meaning, and we're going to translate to the masses how the Jewish people just started taking up idolatry, right, 40 days after Maimon Har Sinai. Like, it's embarrassing. Come on, that's the Havamina. The Maskana is, okay, that you'll read. Kol Shekein Denichle Dehavilu Kapara. Sorry, Lechvod Nashay Yisrael, Kamashman, Kol Shekein Denichle Dehavilu Kapara. So the Gemara says it's a kapara. It serves as an atonement. Meaning, the reading of it, the embarrassment that we suffer, that we have to hear the story, it's a kapara. Klalos u'brachos nikrin u'mitargamin. So the klalos u'brachos, you read it and you translate. Ma'u detema nechush dilma paige daita desibore. So I might have thought, listen, klalos, right, the klalos, listening for the klalos is difficult. Right, you listen to the klalos, I mean, we reference some of it over the kinnos on Tisha B'Av. Right, and it's hard. Meaning it's hard, and you think about historically how the klalos came to be. Right? Mothers cooking and eating their children, right? like we saw yesterday in the kinnos. Right? It's very difficult, and the tzibur hears that, and not only do they hear it, but it's translated for them. Like, it's very difficult. It's a kamash malan. Azharas va'onshin nikrin u'mitargamin. The Azaras and the Onshin, all the punishments of the Torah. So you read and translate them. Pshita, the Gemara says, that's obvious. Ma'od tema nechush dilma asalam ave miyira. So the Gemara says, well, I might think then that the what it will do is it will inspire people to follow the Torah, but only out of fear. That's not enough. Meaning we should observe the Torah at yira, yes, but also ava. Meaning that we should have a love for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says that's the problem with reading about all the punishments in the Torah. Kamash Malan, that's okay. Meaning we'll read it anyway. Maisa Amnon v'Tamar Nikra Matargen. Maisa Avshalom Nikra Matargen. The incident of Amnon and Tamar, you read and translate, as well as the incident with Avshalom and his rebellion against his father. Pshita Ma'u Detem Alechus Leikari De David. So the Gemara says, now all this reflects poorly on David. How one of his sons and daughters are raping one another. Right, the Amnon is raping Tamar. And Avshalom is leading a rebellion against his father, right? Talk about
they don't list the story of David and Bathsheba. Like that's another story of David.
Right, good. Okay, that's a good point. Very good point. Okay. But I might have thought that this all reflects poorly on David HaMelech and Kamash Malan. And the Gemara says, okay, you read it anyway. Okay, Maisa Pilegish Begiva Nikra Matargen. So the Gemara says, Pelegish Begiva, last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim. So, right, really a horrific incident. Right, the Pelegish was raped multiple times, and there was no justice. This was all in Sheva Binyamin, and there was no justice system, and the perpetrators weren't brought to justice, and it led to civil war. Right, last three prakim Shoftim, So it was like America in the Civil War. I mean, it was just like everything, the country fell apart. So you read, you translate it. Pshita ma'od detem alechus lechvod de Binyamin. So again, all this reflects poorly on the whole, in the entire shape of Binyamin. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, okay, you're going to read it anyway.
Every doesn't give any reasons.
Correct. Hey, it's an excellent point. Meaning, with all the punctuations, meaning the Gemara tells us what I might have thought, and the Gemara says, Kamash Malan. And often in the Gemara, this happens very often, I think of so many times, but very often, the Kamash Malan, like we don't know what the punchline is. Meaning, I know it's embarrassing, but read it anyway. Or maybe for some reason, it's not embarrassing. Right? Correct. The Gemara, there's a lot of fill in the blank over here in the Gemara in terms of why we should be reading it anyway. Hodis Yerushalayim is Toev Asa Nikra Metargen. Okay, that last point in the Mishnah, the Perek in Yecheskel, the 16th Perek of Yecheskel. So you read it and you translate. Pshita Lafukim in the Rabbi Lazar to tell you Ma'aseh Ba'Adam Echad Shaykor LaMala MiRabbi Eliezer. Hodis Yerushalayim is Toev Asa. So there was an incident once where they read the parsha. Amar Lo Asher Ata Bodek B'Toev Os Yerushalayim. Say ubadok betoeves imech. So it speaks the parak speaks poorly about Yerushalayim. So and Rabbi Eliezer was listening to this, and it just the haftar just offended him, meaning because it really cast Yerushalayim in a poor light. And he says to the reader, you know, before speaking about the toeva of Yerushalayim, like what about the toeva of your mother? And I understand that's. The parsha itself is indelicate, and that comment was even more indelicate. But the Gemara says, "Batzkoachar of Matzah Boshem." It's possible the Gemara says, "Yeah, they did a background check," and Rabbi Eliezer was right. And so basically, it's unpleasant, and it leads to unpleasantness. So the Gemara says, "So that's why that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah." Rabbi Eliezer says, "Read it, but don't translate it." But our Gemara posits that that's not the halacha. The halacha is you read and you translate. Again, reminder to everybody. Meaning, I understand that we're reading or we're not reading. Meaning, do we read this parak in Yecheskel? So again, back then, there was obviously much more flexibility in what you're going to read for the Haftorah. Meaning, it's not like nowadays. Nowadays, we know exactly which Haftorah we're reading, exactly which Shabbos. Right? Various minhagim amongst the Ashkenazim, Sephardim, right? Even the Hasidim have a different minhag. But in other words, it's pretty much set for us what we're going to be reading. We have a Masorah. But back then, it was much more like open, like they much more freelance in terms of what you're going to be reading. Elo Nikrim Velo Metargamin. Okay, so we just went over a long list of sections of Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which we're going to read and translate. Okay, that was all category one. Now we're up to category number two, read but don't translate. Ve'elo Nikrim Velo Metargamin, and the Gemara gives us repeats for us the Reshit Tevos, the mnemonic. Maisa Reuben Nikra v'la Matargin Maisa Rabbi Chanan b'Gamliel Shalach leKabul v'ayakorn Chazan haKnesses v'hi b'shkon Yisrael v'amar lola Maturgaman al titargem. And they get to the section of v'hi b'shkon Yisrael, meaning they get to the section of Reuven, and he says to the Maturgaman, you know what? No, don't translate it. Ela acharon v'shivchu chachamim, and the chachamim said very good job, meaning good advice to the Maturgam not to translate it. Maisel Egal Hashenim Nikra Vela Matargamin. Ezo Maisel Egal Hashenim Min Vayomar Moshe Ad Vayirai Moshe. Okay, and the Gemara tells us that's a section of Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed Beis, where again, as Rashi pointed out back in the Mishnah, this is when Aaron recounted the incident to Moshe, and the problem is Rashi already told us back in the Mishnah, it sounds like the eagle just kind of popped right out of the fire. So therefore, don't translate that. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer La'olam Yehi Adam Zareh Be You got to be very careful about how you repeat things because of the way that Aaron repeated the incident to Moshe. So the ma'arim, right, those who don't really need a reason to complain but find one anyway, so you basically gave them ammunition. And the Gemara over here goes over the way that Aaron reports the incident over to Moshe. You know, we threw the gold into the fire and out pops the eagle, right? Basically, I to a certain degree, like I kind of understand Aaron, meaning, you know, he's trying to explain like it just kind of happened, meaning, right? I don't have an explanation. Obviously, I don't have a good explanation of why it happened, but it just kind of happened. That's what Aaron was trying to communicate to Moshe. But again, the way he said it makes it sound like on its own the idol popped out, and then you give the impression, it's obviously a false one, but you give them the impression that there was something to this idol. Birchas Kohanim Nikram Velama Targum Maitama Mishum Dichsiv Yisa. Okay, Birchas Kohanim. We're going to read that, but we're not going to translate it because of the word Yisa. And pray tell, what's so bad about that? Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. So let's take a look at Rashi over here, and Rashi writes, Mishum Yisa Shelo Yomer Kadosh Baruch Hu Nosel Panim. Because we don't want to give the impression that a Kadosh Baruch Hu favors us. Meaning, the perception is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah is din. Right? In other words, there's a strict justice system. And in a good justice system, so you don't want favoritism. Meaning you want there to be the strict letter of the law. And what is Birchas Kohanim? Yisa. Yisa means, I'll show you some favoritism.
What's and, the explicit expression of Am Segula and all anything else that...
Okay, all good, but correct. But this is no, but it's not implied. In other words, Yisa Hashem means that Kadosh Baruch Hu should show you favor, meaning that's the bracha. The bracha is right. Kadosh Baruch Hu will go beyond the letter of the law for you. Okay, he'll look the other way. So and look at Rashi. Notice the lampanim ve'enam yodna shekadayin yisol la'aseis lampanim. And good. That's the reason why we don't read it now to us, meaning to those who are slightly more learned. Meaning, how do we understand that? That Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us favor. Right? That, how does that work? So Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Brachos, and the Gemara in Brachos says that we earned it. We earned a Kadosh Baruch Hu's favor. How so? So the Gemara in Brachos gives one example. I'm reading from Rashi. Kidamina bebrachos lo kidayim yisol laseis lampanim. Ani amarti v'achalta v'savata v'rakta v'hein machmir na'atzman ad kezayis ad kebeitza. So we know the halach is that you don't have to bench unless you're full. Okay, so right last night with breakfast is a good example. Okay, somehow I feel like we all ate well last night. Okay, understood, right? So, but the halach is that if we only ate a kezayis of bread, min haTorah, we don't need to bench. However, we also know we bench if we eat a kezayis. Okay, it's mandated by the Chachamim already, but still, meaning we're going above the letter of the law when it comes to the Torah. So because we go above the letter of the law, so Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us favor. So it's an earned favoritism. It's not just a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Decides on his own, you know, I'm going to favor them. No, in other words, we earned it. Good. That's for the slightly more informed. But if I'm reading the Torah and I'm translating for the masses, so the masses are just going to get this idea that, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu favors the Jews. Why? I don't know. He just does. Okay. So that's why I read and not translated. Maisa David v'amnon lo nikrim v'lo metargamen. V'amar maisa amnon v'tamar nikrim metargam. So the Gemara over here points out a pretty simple stira. Previously we said by Amnon and Tamar read and translate. Now we're saying read and don't translate. Lokasha hadiksiv Amnon ben David hadiksiv Amnon stama. So the Gemara says, okay, when it says Amnon by itself, that you can read and translate. When it says Amnon ben David, that we're not going to read and translate. Tan Rabbanu kol amikras aksivim b'Torah leginai korinos olas shevach kegon yishagelna yishkavena ba'afolim b'tachorim chayonim divyonim. Le'echol es choreim v'lishtos es meimei shineim le'echol et so'asam lishtos es meimei raglehem le'machra'as le'motzaos. Okay. Many times in the Torah, you're going to find that the Torah uses, or I should say rather, wants to use very indelicate language. And it's almost as if like the Torah is self-editing. So instead of the word saying the word yishalgena, we say the word yishkavena. Yishalgena, just using this as an example, meaning Yishalgena is a language of Mishkav, right? You'll remember, we did this not that long ago, Rashi over here quotes the Pasuk in Nehemiah, V'hashagel Yosheves Etzlo, right? This was by Daryavesh. He had a Shagel that was sitting right next to him. And if you remember the Gemara earlier, the Gemara said that the Shagel was basically that his dog that he consorted with, right? It was just like,
The second one.
So that was the right.
The son of Esther?
Yeah, correct. The him. correct. So the word shagel is a very indelicate way. It's a crass way of referring to intimacy, right? By the tochacha, so instead of saying the word yishagel now, so we say yishkavena, right? It's a kriuksiv. And again, it's like a self-editing of the Torah. So so we read it in a more pleasant manner. And you'll forgive me, there are many other examples that the Gemara gives over here. You'll take a look at Rashi over here who goes through all these other examples. Rav Yishuv ben Karcha Omer l'macharos k'shemem min meshu genai l'avodes kochavim. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha says machros keshemen, which is embarrassing to Avodah Zarah, which basically means that if it's something which is not flattering for idolatry, that you should have no inhibition. Say it, and say it as grotesquely as you want. Amar Rav Nachman kol leitzunus asira, leitzunus is also. In other words, to be mocking, to be joking, to say, you know, to basically to diminish something by making a sarcastic remark. So the Gemara says that's asur. Barmi leitzunus adavas kochavim. But if you want to be mocking towards avodah zarah, Gemara says that's good. Desharya, dechsiv kara bal keres nevo. The Gemara gives an example from Sefer Yeshayo, where basically the Navi gives a deriding way to describe the idolatry. Karso karav yachtav lo yachlu melei masa. Rav Yana amar mehachal aglos beis oven yagor shekein shamron ki eva lav imo vechamarav alav yagilo akvodo ki galo mimenu al tikre kvodo ela kivedo. Right, and don't talk about its honor, but talk about it in terms of its heaviness. Meaning, describing an avodah zarah where they defecate in front of their avodah zarah, which obviously is very strange to us. But in other words, but you can mock that, and you have every right to mock it. Don't say kvodo, say kvedo, meaning the excrements inside of them and it weighs them down, and you know, mock them and deride them. Amar Rav Huna bar Manoch Meshuv de Rav Acha bar de Rav Ika Shari Leila bar Yisrael Lamemar Leila Ove Kochavim Shakla Avodas Kochavim Anche Bishintav. You could take your Avodah Zarah and, how do I say this pleasantly? I mean, I guess based on the Gemara, I don't have to be that pleasant about it. But basically, you can take it and you could stick it. Shintav, you take a look at Rashi, Lashon V'chashufei Es Ervas Mitzrayim. Insert into the Ervah. Okay, in other words, you could do that. So, Amar Avashi Haiman Desane Shumane Sharla Lebzuye Begimel Vishin. So, let's say somebody has got a terrible reputation. Desane Shumane Rashi Shiotzis Alav Shmuos Raos Vesona Shuhu Naweif. The person is reputed to be a adulterer. Now, I know this begs a lot of questions in terms of how do we know this is so. Right, should we not even listen to the rumors altogether? Doesn't these rumors fall into the category of Lashon Hara? I understand that those are very serious issues. But somebody has this reputation, and just for the sake of saying Pshat in the Gemara, we know these rumors are true. And it's not just alleged, it's, you know, somehow we know. So Sharle Levizuye Begimel Vishin. So once again, he also can be degraded. Gimel Shin, Rashi Bargirta, Zona, Shma, you can call him deriding names. So the Haiman Deshapi Shemane Share Leshevuche. So, and then, so that the Gemara does not end off on these unpleasant notes, the Gemara says someone who has a good reputation, so you can praise such an individual, Oman Deshavche Yinuchu Babrachas Arasho. And when you praise them, so brachas will fall on your head. Be careful as speaking praise about people. Not too much praise. Don't be hyperbolic. Right, that also could lead to issues of lashon hara. But to praise somebody who deserves a praise, Gemara says is a worthwhile endeavor. Hadranlach Hakori Es Megillah Omed takes us to the end of the third parak of the Masechta. I mentioned this point before, but in the Mishnayos, the third and fourth parak are reversed. The fourth parak is the third parak. Why in the Gemara it came out this way, I don't know. But anyway, we now begin the fourth parak of the Masechta. Very interesting parak coming up right now, just as a brief introduction. The fourth parak of the Masechta now is going to take us to the halachas of a shul. Meaning, in the third parak, we talked about the halachas of basically kriya. How do you read the Megillah? How do you read a Sefer Torah? The procedure of kriya. Now, as we enter into the fourth parak of the Masechta, we're going to talk about the treatment of a shul. All those halachas of you're not allowed to eat in a shul, you're not allowed to sleep in a shul, you're not allowed to have a dinner in a shul. Okay, right? We all smile at that point in time. All those halachas are discussed within the context of the fourth parak. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is one of the key themes of the fourth parak of the Masechta. Let's begin it. B'nei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechov HaSheir. If you have a city who's selling the city center, the city square. Okay, I know here in Boca we have what's called the town center. I say this not to be proud of myself, I just say this as a realistic statement. You'll never find me there. just I can't. No. But the But the Rechova Shalir, but if you go to the Rechova, but if the city sells the Rechova Shalir, Lochim Adava Beis HaKnesses, you could buy Shul with the proceeds of that sale. Now, basically, we're talking about Rechova Shalir, we're talking about the city center, so it's owned by the city, okay? And they decide that they're going to sell it, right? The city needs needs revenue, and we're going to sell it. It has, according to our Mishnah, it has just but a little bit of Kedusha. Why? So I'll give away some of the Gemara coming up. So the Gemara later on says, because occasionally we get there in the town center, and we down in the town center. So therefore, our Mishnah is of the position that has a little bit of Kedusha. As a rule, we're going to see in our Mishnah, now that I have proceeds from that sale, what can I do with that money? I can only go up. I can only go up with the Kedusha. So therefore, I can only do things with that money that have greater Kedusha. So for example, I could buy a shul with that money. Based on Knesset, what if we sell a shul? Lochin Teva. So then, if I sell a shul, so again, I can only go up with that money, so I can only buy an aron with the proceeds of the sale of that shul. Teva lochim mitpechos. If I sell an aron, so I can buy with that money a mantle for the Sefer Torah. I understand there's going to be excess money. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Mitpechos, right now on the top of Chavavim and Aleph, Yichus Sfarim. Selling the mantle for the Sefer Torah, the cover for the Sefer Torah. So now what I can do with that money is I can buy Sfarim. Sfarim in this context means Nevim Uksuvim, right? Meaning Nel Chamesh. Sfarim Lochim Torah. Now if we sell our Sfarim, so what can we do with that money? Only up. And the only thing you can do is buy another Torah. Aval Imachru Torah. So now we went up. Now the Mishnah is going to do is go in the other direction of the ladder. Aval Imachru Torah Lo Yichu Sfarim. If you sell a Torah, you can't now with the proceeds buy Sfarim. Sfarim Lo Yichu Mit. Because Mitzvah is Lo Yichu Teva. Teva Lo Yichu Beis HaKnesses. Or Beis HaKnesses Lo Yichu Es HaRechov. Okay, and basically what did the Mishnah just do? Just go back down.
Why?
And right, good question. Why? And stay tuned. We're not going to discuss it today. I think tomorrow we're going to discuss that your question. That's the right question to ask. And basically, what's the point of the Mishnah? Malim b'kodesh v'lo morid. We go up in Kedusha, and we do not go down. Share with you a Rashi, a basic Rashi over here. And Chavav Amar Aleph, the Rashi quotes a source for this rule of Malim b'kodesh v'lo morid. So Rashi says, let's start with the first half of the statement. Malim b'kodesh, second line of Rashi. Rashi writes, Tosefta Malim b'kodesh echziv v'yakamosh es ha-mishkan b'tsalal asa o Moshe she'yagadol mimeno hekimo. B'tsala made the Mishkan, and then in terms of the erection of the Mishkan, so that Moshe did. Now, I know, it's right, we're saying Moshe is better than B'tsala, yeah, we are. Okay. So in other words, so that's a source for Malim B'Kodesh. What about the other direction? Lo Maridin. So Rashi says, for that we have another source. So, by Korach. So right, there was a challenge to who the kahuna belongs to. So what they did is they took out. They had a burning of the ketores. So on one side you had Aaron, on the other side you had all the kohanim wannabes, and they had 250 shovels, golden shovels that they used. And what comes down is that they were burnt, and the shovels still were intact. What they do with the shovels? So Rashi quotes a pasuk. They took the gold, they melted the gold, and they used it as a plating for the Mizbeach. Because the shovels were offered in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's lo moridim, meaning we don't go down in Kedusha. We can't just simply now, they were used as service. So we can't go down with Kedusha. So Rashi here quotes the Tosefta, where we see twice in Chumash, this idea of the need to go up and the prohibition of going down. Okay, we'll see. We'll see if there's any occasion where it's okay. The sell Sefer Torah. That's coming up later. All right, I left out two words of the Mishnah. Didn't leave it out, but just didn't read it. V'chein b'mosreihen. Finishing up the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and the same thing with the residual. Meaning, like the Mishnah, let's go to the first example of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, if I sell the Rechov Ha'ir, if I sell the town center, so with those proceeds I can buy a shul. What if the shul doesn't cost, let's say I have leftover money. Okay, we have a balance. So the balance cannot just simply say, okay, you know what? I primarily use the money for the shul. Okay, the you know what we could do with the balance? Eh, whatever we want. The Mishnah says no. They're right. The Mosreihem, right? The any leftover money still has that sanctity. All the money is earmarked for a kedusha that is higher.
Capital.
Right. Correct. What is right? Generally speaking, there is no excess. Right. You're assuming there's going to be any excess. Right. But okay. But you're right. If there's any excess money. What is not discussed in the Mishnah, and obviously the Gemara is going to discuss it, just not today, is what if we're going same level? In other words, the Mishnah just always says that you can't, you have to go up, you can't go down, but what about if you're going parallel? What if it's a lateral move? The Mishnah does not discuss that. We're going to discuss that, but not today. Let's start with the Gemara. B'nei Ha'ir, Shemachu Rechov Shalir, Amar Rabba, B'vechana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zudev Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi Stumasa. Our Mishnah follows the position of Rabbi Nachum Bar Yossi Stumasa. Our Mishnah is anonymous, but truth of the matter is, it is only the position of Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi. But the Chachamim disagree. A street does not have Kedusha. Even though we use a street occasionally for davening, it does not have Kedusha. Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, my time, whole of Am, Mispalim, Bo, Batanis, Vamamados. Now, according to Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, why does the street have Kedusha? Why does the town center have Kedusha? And the answer is because it's used occasionally for a fast and for mamados. Now there's a lengthy Rashi over here, and Rashi has a discussion, a debate, whether or not the word mamados belongs in our Gemara, does not belong in our Gemara. But for a fast, that we know, just finished Masechta Tanis, and we know that on a fast day, we would take the Aron out to the street, and we would dive in the street. So the street was used on occasion, and so therefore Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi says it has a kedusha, and the Chachamim say no. Occasional use of the street does not imbue the street with any kedusha. Okay, that's the and so therefore basically our Mishnah is but one Tana's opinion, and it's not the opinion we follow. Basic Knesset Lochin Teva. You sell a shul, you buy a teva, you can buy an aron. Amar Shmar Ben Nachman Amar Rav Yochanan Loshana Ola Beis Knesset Shul Kfarim. Ava Beis Knesset Shul Krachim. So now the Gemara is going to make a very interesting distinction between a shul owned by a small town versus a shul owned by a big city. Shul owned by a big city, we cannot sell. Why not? So first, we're going to read the words of the Gemara. Kevin de me'alma asule, since people are coming from all over, lo matzim ezav nele, they therefore can't sell it, the havelei de rabbin, because the shul is the public shul. Now, obviously, we need to understand the Gemara better. The shul is a public shul. What does that mean? So Tosos over here offers two different explanations of the Gemara. See the top Tosos? Kevin de Ma'amai Ka'asulei, near Lafarish. Tosos writes, Ha'chi, kevin sh'rov b'nei adam regil alech ha'sham l'espala afa p'she'i nosnim klum b'binyano, v'kamakom kevin de l'adasos amrab b'naseh, chamura kedusha sova eina yochem l'cholom l'mokro. So the first way Tosos understands the Gemara is, it's not that the masses are contributing to the building of the shul. They're not. But because it's a city, because there's traffic coming in and out from all over the place, we're building it for the public. It's earmarked for the public, therefore it is not our right to sell it. That's one explanation of Tosfos. V'od yesh lafarsh, but Tosfos says we can also offer a different explanation of the Gemara. Kevin sh'rabim nosim b'binyano, or no, maybe the pshat in the Gemara says Tosos is that what the Gemara is actually saying is that there is a contribution by all parts of the world to the shul. The shul is in a metropolis. There's traffic coming in and out, and there's a basic expectation that if anyone's coming in and stopping here and dobbing the shul, the understanding is they're going to make a donation to the shul. And so therefore the funds for the shul is funded by the world. Now that's a very different pshat than the first pshat in the Gemara. Meaning in the second pshat in the Gemara, we're basically saying that this limitation of not being able to sell a city shul is because it's funded by the community. So that means, according to the second pshat, if the shul finds itself in a city, but it's not funded by the community, it's privately funded, so then you would be able to sell it. So there's a big difference between the first pshat of Tosfos and the second shot of Tosfos. The Gemara, well, let's just finish up, let's just do a little bit more. The Havli the Rabbim. Amar Ravashi, back to the Gemara. Hi, Bekanisha, the Mas Mechasia. The Shul Mas Mechasia. Mas Mechasia, one of the main metropolis cities in Babel. Alpha Gav the Me'am Asula, Kevin the Hadaita Didika Asu, Ibeinam Zavnina Le. Ravashi says, this Shul is primarily my Shul. Now, I understand that needs a definition. Like, what does that mean, it's my Shul? Right, I'm going to translate the Gemara's words a little bit crisper. Right, the kevin da adaita didikasu. They're coming on account of me, so therefore ibainam is avnina, therefore if I want to I can sell it. So what exactly does that mean? So again, going back to the Tosfos, Tosfos writes this, meaning according to the first pshat, it means basically that when they built it, the real consideration was I'm the main attraction to the shul. Meaning, they didn't build it for the public use, but they built it primarily for me, and so therefore, I by right have the right to sell it. Or, let's go with the second shot in Tosfos. That's really a financial consideration. That everyone's donating money. Tosfos says, under those circumstances, the way you're going to understand the Gemara over here is, they're not donating money to the shul, they're really donating money to Rav Ashi. Meaning, they're assuming that we're gonna build a shul for Rav Ashi. So all money is not earmarked for the shul as much as it's earmarked for Rav Ashi. And so therefore he has the right to sell it. Okay. Meisvei Amar Rav Yehuna Meisa Bebeisa Knesset Shul Tarsiyim. There was a shul that belonged to Tarsiyim, coppersmiths. Right? They built a shul. And Shaya Berushalayim Shemachrula Rabbi Eliezer V'asabal Kotz Rachav. And the shul was sold to Rabbi Eliezer and he did with it what he wanted to do with it. V'asam Dekrachim Havan. Now we're talking about Yerushalayim, which is a metropolis. And meanwhile, it was sold. So the Gemara says, "Ahibe kenishta zutehavu the ina avdua." So the Gemara says it's a small shul. It really was a mom and pop operation. It was a very small shul. It literally belonged to the coppersmiths, and that's why they did go with the shul. Okay, fine. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point in time. So what we have right now is in the introduction to the fourth parak, and we started the mission. We started the Gemara. We're now going to engage in a very interesting discussion about ownership of a shul and the right to sell a shul. We are right in the middle of the discussion. Obviously, we have a lot more Gemara to go on this topic. Really, the rest of today's Daf Chavav is going to be dedicated to the topic. Hopefully, between today and tomorrow, we'll be able to make up some ground.